Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love him. He loves us so much. The Lord cares about us individually and collectively. And he uses us strategically. The Lord knows how people will process how we are and how and what type of person we are. And some people can minister to others when they're familiar, people can't. So the Lord he considers everything. I've learned to know the Lord that way. Everything he do is full of strategy. And he thinks of everything. Everything he do is well thought out. And the only way you'll ever learn this is to trust him. The more I trusted God and acted on what he said without interference. Now the interference is your own thoughts and other people's opinions and fears, apprehensions, unexpectations. You know, when you don't expect it to go like he's doing, and he can change it up on you. He can have you do something, and you know it's him, but you say, well, I never done that before. You know, I pause at areas like that. But when I learn to proceed, I learn that God, that everything's in order. And that's what I love about God. Everything is in order when you obey him. See, we don't have the wherewithal. We don't have the knowledge that he has. We don't have the foresight that he has. We don't have the experience that he has. And God is perfect in this. And we're not. Even though we've been made holy, yes, we've been made holy, but we're not perfect in knowledge, and we're not perfect in wisdom, and we're not perfect in counsel, and we're definitely not perfect in might. But when we yield to him, we have all of his abilities working where we need it to in us. And he'll use us as a vessel. The word calls us a vessel. The night the Lord called me to preach, the way he did it, he gave me this dream. And the dream kind of helped me deal with fear. Fear of speaking publicly. And it was a unique way the Lord did it. And, you know, when I was growing up, we used to watch Happy Days, you know. And all the guys kind of like Fonzie, you know, Arthur Fonzarelli. And I liked them too. You know, I used to dress with blue jeans and a leather jacket. And, you know, stuff like that. You see something, you like it, you do it. Well, anyway, I had to speak before people, and I had never done that. But Fonzie was there, and he had his glasses on like he used to wear. And he looked. What helped me was he looked through those glasses without fear, and that caught my attention. And then I woke up, and I said, "Lord, what is it?" I knew the Lord was in the room. I sensed his presence to the point that I said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said, "Behold, I have chosen you." He said, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor." And I'm like, my first thought was, he done it. I can't get out of this. So I got up out of bed, went to the living room, got on my knees, prayed, "Lord, what kind of preacher am I going to be? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What do I do now?" He said, "Follow me." And that's all. And I knew that that's all I was going to get that night in prayer. When he said that, I got up immediately and went and got back into bed. Now, the Lord, he worked with us. You know, some people will say, "Well, why would he use funds?" Because it worked. It got the point over. And then when I had to stand before people, I knew to do it without fear. See, God know how to, he know what he's doing. I didn't wrestle with him because of fear, because he dealt with that in the first place. See, when you come out of the world system, you carry a lot of baggage with you in your mind, not in your heart, because your heart is made perfect. All that stuff's gone from your heart, but your mind. Now you got to get over some stuff sometime to cooperate with God. But if you do, you're going to learn that God is full of order. He has perfect order in all that he does. Now, You know, I was at a car show one day and I saw Henry Winkler, and I remember that. I waved at him, he waved back, but I didn't get to talk to him. I wish I could have told him that. But anyway, nevertheless, God loves us and he thinks of everything. When you trust him, you're taking your whole life and everything you're doing to the next glory. Every time you trust God, you're entering into something much greater. Because if you had to trust him, that's an area you didn't know him. You're doing it because of your rapport with him. God has gained rapport with you, and you've gained rapport with him. And when he asks you to do something, a new sanction, a new assignment, then every time he gives you a new assignment, you're entering into a new glory. If you say yes and go in it, you enter into it, and he'll train you for it, and then you'll go through the process of training. And if you finish and go through the process of training, you're going to learn something you never learned before. And it's time now to go forward and not backwards, and to seek him and not go back to the old way. Not even remain at the same standards you used to. Always proceed. When you trust God, he thinks of everything. And nobody can teach this to you. Even though I'm teaching these things, at best I'm showing you what to watch out for. Because when you get to that crossroad, when you get to that point that God wants you to do something you're not used to, if you trust him, you're going to see what I'm talking about. But see, it hinges on what you do at that time. If you do like the rich young ruler and walk away sorrowful, anytime you're walking away sorrowful, you're going the wrong way. And you're not going to learn what God was getting to. That's just the way it is. But if you proceed, then you'll go forward. You'll go forward and you'll learn. And some people, they always chicken out. It's their pattern. Well, they want to, and they get to talking to people that they know and care about that don't see the vision, and then they get talked out of it. And they still never know what God was getting at. And if too much time elapsed, they get fired. And you don't want that. You don't want God to stop trusting you. Does that mean you're out of the kingdom? No. But he won't trust you for greater works if you can't get it together. See, when we trust God, when we learn to trust God, God is also learning to trust us. If you're faithful, he trusts you. And your faithfulness gets you to a certain point of trust with him. And when he gives you a sanction, that means he trusts you. You have everything you need to make a quality choice to go forward at that point. But if you don't, then the next time he may choose somebody else, somebody that's more faithful than you are. And you see, not only will you not learn what you could have learned at that strategic moment in time, but it may cancel out you learning in the future, future assignments. Now, the Lord did tell me this. He said when he give people things to do, he give them something to do. If they don't do it, he'll give them something less important to do. If that doesn't work, he'll give them something less important to do. And this will go on until they do something, and then he'll build them back up to where they were. God is loving. He think of everything. I can't learn this. How could I know that? Think about it. How could I know something like that unless God explained it to me? So, if you don't stick with his plan, there's a lot of things you're not going to be introduced to. Now, when I used to ask the Lord about his creation, he said, "Honors me that you asked me about my creation." The reason I'm bringing this up is because I want to show you something. And a friend of mine asked the Lord first. He said, "Lord, is there life on other planets?" And he said, and the Lord asked him, "Yes, but they're not like you are." So that's all we got. That's all he got. That's what he told me, I believe. So I started asking the Lord the same thing. And the first thing Jesus said, to get rid of my doubts, And see, the world has a system. Men, proud people don't like to feel out of control. That's one thing about a proud person. They want to believe whether it's true or not. They want to believe that they're the master and they have a lock on things. They got a good understanding of what's going on. So for a very long time, people felt like, well, man, we're the only people on out of all those stars out there, and every star is a sun. We're the only ones alive. Now, why would God go through all that trouble to make all that beautiful space and the lights in the space, the stars, for nothing? He did. One day I said, Lord, I heard on the radio the guy say, you know, the scientists say the universe is still growing. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what he said. And immediately the Lord said, I'm still making planets and people. And it shocked me. I dropped my air wrench. Now, when this, I heard this from the Lord. And then he gave me a scripture to keep me out of doubt. He gave me the parable of the mustard seed. God makes the mustard seed is the smallest seed, but it becomes the greatest herb, and birds of the air can lodge in under the shadow of it. So God makes a beautiful habitation. Then he makes people that can live there and appreciate it and love it and love him. And he loves them. He made it for them to live in. That's how God is. Now, so I'm asking, when I first started asking him about his creation, he said, it honors me that you asked me about my creation. And then it got to the point, I said, Lord, I want to see it. I want to see something, somebody from another planet. And I wanted to know. And then that day, this was many months after he told me what he told me first. And I said, Lord, I want to see something. This had to be in before 93, before I opened my shop. Because I asked him this in my old garage. I was getting a car ready, fixing a car. And I stopped to ask him that. He said, are you ready to see it? Are you ready to see a vision of another place? That's what he was asking. I said, yes. And then I got scared. You know, I don't know why I got. I thought that he was going to show me something right then, because he brought it up. And he said, are you ready to see it? I said, yes. He said, when I show you, notice how they love each other. I'll never forget this part. Notice how they work together. Notice the success they share. He gave me a word picture. And that gave me something. I was still afraid that he was going to show me something, and I didn't know what to expect. We love to know what to expect in life. But that time, I didn't know what to expect. But he gave me that word picture. And it really helped me. Now, he did show me something, and it was relative to something I was going through. Beautiful. We got a beautiful future ahead of us. I put it that way. And all intelligent life don't look like men. They can look all kind of ways. But I thank God for what he showed me. He had to tone it down because what he showed me, he had to make their world look like ours, because their world don't look like ours. Our world has sin in it. And it's still beautiful. But just use your imagination for a moment. How would the earth look if Adam stayed? First of all, let's go better than that. Let's say God made the planet for Adam. Not a restoration. This earth is a restoration. It was populated before God made Adam, because God told Adam to refill the earth. And we have evidence of all forms of destruction, old civilizations that man did not build. It's all over the planet. Sometimes it's covered up, and you can only see it from the air, and it's covered with vegetation. You have to have radar sensors to look deep in the earth to see, and you can see several of those old buildings under the dirt and under the foliage. Now, Let's say God made the earth and then made Adam. And there was no civilization before it to litter the ground with their destructive ways. And there was no sin here. And Adam stayed in the love of God. And all of his people stayed in the love of God. And they could reject the evil. And there was no sin. And everybody was ever progressive, just like God. Now, that's how their planet looked. Because there was no sin there. So God had to make it look like ours, so my mind could stay on what I'm doing. And I saw the people. I saw the, and they were beautiful. And the glory of God was on them. So what I want you to understand is this. Sin is not everywhere. A third of the stars filled with Satan. And it didn't say angels. It said stars. See, people say we want to think angels and men. Well, that's just old philosophy. A third of the stars fell with Satan. Or Satan fell first. Then a third of the stars fell with him by the time we get to Revelation anyway. So they're probably still falling. But a third is going to follow him. And two-thirds follows God. It's not just angels, but it's creation. Stars. Now, around every planet, around every star, there are planets, and the people are the captain of just like Adam was the captain of this world and his kind. It's not the star itself; we're looking at captains from the stars. That's to be understood. Now, when he showed me that. He didn't just bombard me with revelation. He gave it to me at a pace I could receive it. He made it where I could get it. So when you have the reason I brought this up, God didn't. He never bombarded me with revelation. He gave it to me as I can handle it, and then he let me process it. Then he gave me more. See, God thinks of everything, and that's how he trains us. So if you keep going into the glory, you're going to see more and more of his ways, and you're going to understand it. I know if anybody that listens to these broadcasts, I might seem strange to some. But if you're not used to having a relationship, I could seem strange. But if everybody that has a relationship, they know what I'm talking about. When God gives you something to do, you don't know how it's going to turn out. You're just doing it because God said it. You do it depending on him, and it turns out good. Then the next time he gives you something, you'll do it, and it turned out good. Then it gets more frequent. That really lets you know you're on the right track. And every time you learn something, you see an aspect of life that you never noticed before. So, you're growing from glory to glory. Now, when you're entering in, you said yes and you're going forward, then the Lord will begin to train you how to operate in this new glory. Now, like I said in another broadcast, salvation is the first glory. Or healing is a glory. Then salvation. One can come before the other. Sometimes God heal people. Then that inspires them to know he's real and he's with them and he loves them. And then they get saved. Or they get a blessing from God. Somebody bless them or give them a word of encouragement. And they know it was personal. How did you know that? Well, God told me. Now they're looking to God. That helps them enter the glory of salvation. And trust. Trust is a glory all by itself. Faith is a glory all by itself. So you learn to believe God, then you learn to trust God more and more. And every time you learn to trust him, you're entering into another glory. In ministry, when God gave me a message, I entered the glory. I knew he'd give me a message. That's when I was relieved. I didn't like ministry until I knew he'd give me a message because I didn't know what to do. But when I saw he'd give me a message and be with me while I deliver it, that's when I became interested. And every time somebody asked me to minister or preach, I knew I was going to learn something new. And he began to give me messages and training. Eventually, he gave me gifts. He gave me 3 spiritual gifts. And each one of them, I entered a new glory. Then I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach about authority. And I knew about I used authority. I understood it. But when I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach it, I became my authority. What I got from him is your authority is unlimited. That was another aspect of it that I didn't know. I didn't know I could stop gunfights and by authority. I did it for 6 years. Well, the Holy Spirit, he gave me, you know, when he gave me any time a believer, every believer has the same authority. But what the difference is when you enter the glory of it and you learn and you train and you learn more about it, you become skilled, and that skill is like another glory. When I listened to him, you know, I listened to him for 30 days. That word was in my heart, and they started to have the drug dealers started having gunfights. And I said, Satan, you can't kill nobody, you can't hurt nobody in Jesus. And it always worked. And it always will. Nobody ever got shot while I was speaking on the ground. Even other places, you can protect people. When ISIS took that lady from Britain, that news reporter, I said, Satan, you will not kill that lady. She's going back home. I'm walking through the room about a week later, and she's on the plane going back home. Authority works, folks. I'm not bragging. This is how it is. I'm trying to inspire people to do the same thing. The Lord trained me He helped me clear up my doubts. That was the training. Because my mind, see, you have to have new thinking when you get new revelation. Your old thinking will fight a war in you against the new revelation, and you'll become neutered. Just like they neuter a dog, you won't be able to produce if you talk yourself out of faith. But before that happened, I asked the Lord a question, trying to understand. I said, Lord, what if I rebuke the devil and he don't go? When you tell the devil to go, he's got to go, the voice of the Lord came to me saying. So I said, well, what if he don't? When you tell the devil to go, he's got to go. And I asked him one more time, well, what if he don't? And he shouted, I'm not going to do you like it like that. But he shouted the word in me. I heard God shout, when you tell the devil to go, he's got to go. And I was afraid to ask him again. And the word got down in my heart and my mind got renewed. Then the gunfight started. Then, and I was kind of surprised that it worked. My mind was anyway. But I said it from my heart. My heart was on board with God, but my mind was still spinning. You know, so just like a dragster, when they leave the line, the wheels are spinning before it gets gripped. But I caught up. It got to be a reflex. Whenever I heard escalating voices, I would immediately shut it down. Saying, you can't kill nobody, you can't hurt nobody. And it would always happen. Most of these gunfights happen in the middle of the night. It'd wake me up. I hear people shouting at each other. Then I hear the guns going off. So every night before I go to bed, on the weekend, I would protect the neighborhood. I say, Satan, you can't kill anybody in this neighborhood with them gunfights, in Jesus' name. Then I go to sleep. And when they start shooting, we go in the bathroom. That was the strongest room, had more walls around it. And I rebuked the enemy until they quit. Nobody got killed all them years. Now, every time you enter a glory, when the Lord gave me, started dealing with me prophetically, he would give me a word for people. And Elder May would call on me and ask me if I had anything. And I used to write it down on paper. And I'd read it to the church. And one day, the Lord changed it up on me. He gave me too much to write. Threw me a curve. And when I got my notebook to write it down, I forgot all of it. And I said, Lord, he's about to call on me. I can't remember this. And then I said, he want me to speak it. And I put my notebook up and all of it came back. I said, Lord, that's too much. I can't remember that. He said, speak the first part and the rest will follow. And I did. And see, God will train you for the next glory. And then he would use me prophetically more and more. And I was when I used to write it, that's the gift of prophetic utterance. But I just wrote down what God gave me. I laid hands on a friend of mine, and at the Lord's instruction, I anointed him to write. Actually, that's the gift of prophetic utterance. But I didn't know that. So, and then he started writing beautiful letters to people. It's prophetic utterance. That's what it is. And then the discerning of spirits started operating in my ministry. And it started first. And then prophetic utterance came later. discerning of spirits, prophetic utterance, and the word of wisdom. I give people the words of wisdom. By the Holy Ghost. I don't do it. God does it. All these things came. And I remember how it happened. So once you're trained, then the Lord will start giving you assignments more and more. Sometimes he'll give you the gifts during the assignment. You're entering several glories at once to do a specific thing. So when you follow God, everything works out. I used to want to be a blessing to people. I wanted to relay the things that God was giving. And I didn't have a vehicle to do it. I didn't have a church to preach in. I rarely preached in churches. And I didn't have a way to get the word across. And it aggravated me. And God started to give. He gave me all these teachings. And then writings. And I would. When I wrote the first poem that he gave me, I didn't know what to call it. It was actually a living letter. My mother said it was a sermon. But a sermon it has a destination. That's how I understood sermons to be. Like if I had to preach at First Baptist, I'd get a sermon for First Baptist. Or at the Church of God, Christ Church, I'd get a sermon for that church. So this came with no direction. I didn't know what to do with it. Coming to life. He gave me thoughts about pertaining to coming to life. And I titled it Coming to Life. And the way it happened, it came just like a message. The first seven or eight thoughts came. And then by that time, I got my notebook. And I started at like number eight and I kept writing. And when I got to the end, the first seven came back. So I started at the top and wrote that. Then the title came, Coming to Life. And it was in 1991. And I told you this before, if you listen to these broadcasts often, the guy that built alternators for me, Dennis Morgan, he said, this is beautiful. Get this typed up and give me a copy of it. So got it typed up, went to the Office Depot and made 100 copies. And then I gave him one. And that week my uncle died, and my cousin suggested that I give one to the family. So Wayne said, give it to the family. I said, it'll bless him. I gave it to the family. Then God gave me another. So when I went to church, I passed out Coming to Life. Then I passed out the next one. And every week God was giving me one. And then he started giving me a writing every day. I got writings I never published. And they're living letters. In 1999, that's when I got Living Letter Ministries. And I knew what to do. I was laying across the bed just resting. And I heard the Lord say, Living Letter Ministries. I said, oh. And I immediately knew I entered another glory. I got an assignment, a way to get God's word across. So now I'm receiving revelation that people obviously need it. And you meet people on an elevator or something, and you know, you just met them. You want to share, but you can't just share everything God gave you. So with Living Letter Ministries, I asked for the address. If we got in a conversation, I said, hey, I got a ministry. I'll send you writings every year if you give me your address. And then they give me the address, and I sent them about 6 or 7 living letters. And I would print them on both sides to save space. And I made them neat. I used to send them in a manila envelope so that they wouldn't get wrinkled. And man, it was very effective. When they get them, they could frame it and put it on the wall if they wanted to. And I made them beautiful, the print and everything, you know. And see, with the wisdom of God, God will train you. And people have, I've gotten reports, people find those letters and say, man, that blessed me just like it did 10 years ago. He said, man, I found one of those letters and it spoke to me. It's a living letter, God's idea. When you follow God, you enter into the glories. Now, if I asked doubtful people, they would have said, oh, I wouldn't do all that's too much trouble. What's for dinner? You know, come on. We got to get beyond all this. Now, God, he know what he's doing. If we follow him, you're going to do fine. Every glory you enter into, you have understanding. So, remember, the challenges you had getting the understanding, don't be offended when people don't see what you're saying. And I say, nobody told me that before. But as I began to learn God's ways, I yield to the Holy Spirit, and he showed me how to minister to people so they can get it. He helps me to be covenant appropriate. Not that I'm much wiser than they are. That's not the point. Revelation can be new, just like it was once new to you. It can be new to anybody else. People that's ahead of you, that God has been using in ministry much longer. It don't matter. God know he know the person and what they can handle and whether it'll bless them or not. So I yield to the Lord to get the point over. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you.